All right, our reading is taken from Psalm number 37, starting at verse number 23. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And it reads, "Our steps are made firm by the Lord when he delights in our way. Though we stumble, we shall not fall headlong. For the Lord holds us by the hand. I have been young and now am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread."
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor by the hand, look your neighbor square in the eye. They ain't gonna bite you. Look them square in the eye and say, "Neighbor,
neighbor,
the Lord won't,
let you go.
Neighbor,
neighbor,
the Lord won't,
let you go."
Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, "The Lord Won't Let You Go."
Amen.
Amen. Turn that "you" to a "me." That's fine with me. You know, the interesting thing about our experience with God is that there was a time in our lives we didn't have an experience with God. Or we wasn't aware of it. And many of us in our lives have felt like we were a misfit. We felt like that piece of a puzzle that didn't seem to fit right anywhere. And sometimes this happened with us in families, friends, on the job. We felt like the misfit, that we just didn't fit right. I want you to know that David felt like a misfit. David is the person who has been identified as being the writer of this psalm. You may agree, you may disagree, but that's on you. But he felt like the misfit. You see, in order for us to understand what is written in this psalm, we have to go and assess David to see what was his motivation to write this. You've heard me share it on more times than not about how when Samuel came and asked Jesse to bring his sons, because one of his sons would be anointed as the next king, he had a total of 8 sons, but he brought 7 because one was the misfit. And when each of the 7 came to Samuel, God just kept telling him, "That ain't the one." Samuel got frustrated and turned to Jesse, "Do you have any more sons?" "Oh yeah, I got that misfit who was out there watching those sheep." The one on the outside has to be brought to the inside. And when he's brought in, he sees that there was a party already started and he wasn't invited. How many of us feel like we're on the outside always looking in? And the reason why we feel like that, because we feel like we are the misfit. We're the piece of that puzzle that just doesn't seem to fit. And when this occurred and we saw he was anointed, we saw he fought against Goliath. And before he fought with Goliath, we see his brother said, "Well, what you here for? Who watching them sheep? You the misfit." But what his older brother didn't understand was that God was blessing him while he was watching over the sheep. Because God was showing him and preparing him for battle. Because when he was watching the sheep, when the bears came and the lions came, he didn't run from them. He ran to them and defeated them to keep them off the sheep. But we're seeing that David didn't realize how blessed he was until the anointing of God was upon him. Just like we didn't know how blessed we were and how God was using our lives prior to knowing him as training ground for what he was going to be doing with us later on in life. So whether we knew it or not, God's hand was upon us without us even knowing he was there. But we couldn't figure out why we just couldn't fit in with everybody else. Why couldn't we be like everybody else? Because guess what? You are not everybody else. You are who God has made you to be. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm good with myself. You see, my brothers and my sisters, until you are good with yourself, you'll never know how God can bless and use you. Until you are good with yourself, you don't care what others say about you. You might call me a misfit. You might call me somebody who don't click. But that's all right, because God is blessing me. Folk might not understand you and I, but that's okay. Because I know who's got me, and I know who understands me. Because he made me the way I am. Because my God is a good God. Now, what I find interesting here is that to me, these verses, 23, 24, and 25, Reverend Rhodes, it is him reflecting. Reflecting on the power of God. Reflecting over his life. Reflecting on where God brought him through. And understanding that he would never have been anywhere if the Lord wasn't the one who had been ordering his steps. Because it tells us in verse 23, our steps are made firm by the Lord. Now, Reverend Flippin, some folk will think that in order for my steps to be made firm, I got to walk on concrete. Or in order for my steps to be firm, I got to walk on some rocky terrain. But I want you to understand something. If the Lord makes your steps firm, you can walk on water and it can be firm. Amen. Yeah. Oh, somebody going to work with me. Because I do recall Peter walking on water and he didn't sink until he didn't pay attention to Jesus. The Lord was making his steps firm even though he was walking on. Are you understanding what's happening here? Now, what we have to understand is not just where we're stepping, but what direction we are stepping in. Because the direction we are stepping in, we might think it's firm, but the only way the steps are made firm is by the Lord. So if you are out of step with God, going in a different direction that God wants you to go in, I want you to know that your steps will not be firm. Some folk catch a whole lot of hell because they ain't stepping where God is instructing them to step. They're dealing with a whole bunch of stuff. Because they are not allowing the Lord to make their steps firm. And the way that you know God is going to make your steps firm is when he delights in our way. Means that he's approving where we're stepping. Yeah. When you understand that where you're stepping is where God wants you to step, God's going to let you know when you're going in the right direction. Oh, yeah. You see, when you ain't going right, God's going to say, that ain't the right way to go. And when you're going in the correct direction, God's saying, now you're doing good. Yeah. You see, my brothers and my sisters, the direction God might be taking you, you might think is not a good direction because of the fact that the surface doesn't look good. But don't you know when God's hand is on you, As I said a few minutes ago, Peter walked on water. So if wherever the Lord is taking you, that means that God is going to make sure that your steps are made firm, because he is approving in the direction you're going, because you're going in the direction that God is sending you. The problem with us is that we want to see it first and then we want to step on it. But if we truly going to be God's people, we must walk by and not by. So don't get caught up with what the eye see. Get caught up in where God is taking you. Because wherever God is taking you, I want you to know it's firm. But then there's another misconception that is made, Deacon Jones. Is that once we are going in the direction and taking the steps that the Lord has made firm and that he has approved them, we feel that we good. We feel that as long as I'm going the way God wants me to go, I'm good. God, you hang out over there. I'm going where you want me to go, so I'm good. But what he says in verse 24 makes us be alerted to something. That you can be going the right way, doing the right thing, and still be in danger of stumbling. You don't believe me? Look at what it says in verse 24. Though we stumble, what? We shall not fall headlong. Why? For the Lord holds us by the hand. So one of the things that we can't ever get comfortable in doing is walking on the firm ground that God is giving us and think we don't need God to be walking with us. Because I want you to understand that when you are doing the will of God, that's the time when you can expect some things to come at you. That's the time when distractions will attempt to come at you. That's the time when trials and tribulations will come at you. That's the time the temptation will come at you. That's the time the enemy's going to throw some stumbling blocks. That's the time when folk who smile at you today are frowning at you tomorrow. That's the time when this and that happens. But when you are going, holding on to the hand of the Lord, Sister Davis, when I stumble, I will not fall, because the Lord won't let me. Do you see it here in the word? You and I got to understand something. It's when you're going the right way, you truly have to be fully alert, because that's when the enemy will try his best to divert you left, divert you right. And if he can't get you to go either direction, he just put his foot out and say, trip. And the only reason why you're not going to fall headlong is that the Lord won't let you go. You see, my brothers and my sisters, the one thing that has happened to some folk in church is that you felt that you didn't have to hold God's hand for this one. And you went on to do what you thought you could do. And you fell. And when you fell, you quit. And you stop. You're no longer doing and moving what God wants you to do and move. Because you fell. And guess what? When you fell, Brother Red, everybody saw it. They saw you fall. And when they saw you fall, you know what they started doing? Did you see how far? Did you see what he did? And then all of a sudden you said, I quit. And once you said, I quit, the enemy said, I ain't got to worry about that one no more. So let me move on to the next. I'm here to tell you today, my brothers and my sisters, I want you to understand, you might have stumbled, you might have fell flat on your face because you was trying to tell God, I didn't need you, I can do this, you brought me this far, God, let me go do this one thing by myself, and when it didn't work, you quit. But I want you to understand something. The God that you serve has no quit in him. You see, our God has not quit on us. Because if he had quit on us, he would have never sent Jesus. Jesus came so that you and I would not have to quit. Jesus came to give you and I opportunity to have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus came so that we will no longer be lost, but we could be found. Jesus came to show us the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus came to make us better and not make us bitter. So if Jesus wouldn't quit on you and I, why are you quitting on God? I know what happened to you hurt. I know what happened to you embarrassed you. I know what happened to you didn't feel good. But God has called you and he will not. And I can look at David as a perfect example. David, who was identified as being a man after God's own heart. A man that walked on the balcony of the palace and saw a woman bathing who was not his wife and had her called and told him to go get her and bring her to me. Slept with her. Got her pregnant. She told him she was pregnant. And then he said, oh, I had to call her husband. He wouldn't call Uriah. Come on back, man. You can, go on and sleep with you. I can't go do that. My fellow soldiers are out there fighting, and they can't get to their family, so why am I going to get to mine? Tried to get the brother drunk, figuring that might work. It didn't work. And as a last resort, he sent him back with his own death certificate because he sent it to Joab and told him, look, you put him where the fight is the heaviest and put him in the front and then draw back. He had the man killed because he would not agree to go sleep with his wife because he was trying to cover up his own stuff. And I want you to understand that God very easily could have very easily at that point got rid of David. Yeah. And at that point, David could have messed up and quit. But when it was brought to his attention what he had done, he realized he needed to make a change. He made the change and things began to happen. So what is that saying? That guess what? You ain't perfect. None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. But it's not the mistake that beats us. It's how we respond after we make a mistake. Because when we learn from our mistakes, that means that we're going to grow from it. A mistake should not shrink us. A mistake should cause you and I to grow from it. Because our God wants you and I to realize, no matter what happens, don't you dare quit. There ought not to be a quitter in God's house. Because I want you to know there's not one mistake-free person in here. If there is, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. We can't raise our hands because we've made some mistakes. But in the process of making mistakes, we understand that we're going to learn from our mistakes. We won't quit on God because God won't quit on us. You see, and since God won't quit on us, we understand no matter when we stumble, no matter when it seems like we should fall headlong, our Lord won't let you go. And since he didn't let you go, he's letting you know there's still something out there for you. There's still a work for you and I to do. You see, my brothers and my sisters, God didn't bring you this far just to throw you away. God brought you this far because there's still work for you to do. God wants you to get in the vineyard. God wants you to get involved. God wants your light to shine. God wants you to encourage others. God wants you to pray for folk. God wants you to let others know that there is a better way. And it's all through who? Jesus. You see, my brothers and my sisters, God won't let you. So since he won't let you go, don't you dare try to pull yourself away from God. You see, when I look at verse 23 and 24, it is truly a misfit who truly made the steps that God wanted him to make, because God made his steps firm. And whenever God was approving of his steps, he was letting him know he's approving. And even when he was going the steps that he wanted to go, according to the will of God, we're seeing that it wasn't always easy. Especially when Saul came to kill him. There's been so many different things that David went through. The kid who was outside, the misfit, the undeserving one, was the one who God called and led and used to be the first great king of Israel. You see, my brothers and my sisters, don't you understand that sometimes you are the misfit But in being the misfit, it's that you're not fitting anywhere because you're not doing what God is calling you to do. It's when you're doing what God calls you to do is when you begin to fit. You see, until you are doing the will of God, you're not going to fit because of the fact that you're not going to be comfortable to anything you're doing because it's what you want to do and not what God is calling you to do. So you're not going to fit. You see, and that's why some folk are frustrated in their lives until they get to the Lord and give their lives to the Lord because they find out now I can fit. So now that I have God and I am fitting, and what David here is understanding is that the Lord is the one who's ordering my steps, but he's also the one who's ordering your steps. And he is the only one that's not allowing us to fall headlong because he is the one who is holding us up. So when I look at verses 23 and 24, what I see is David reflecting over his own life and understanding how good God is. And what we see in verse number 25 is the celebration of what took place in verses 23 and 24. Because of what took place in 23 and 24 is a celebration of what happens in verse 25. Because he says in verse 25, because he says it's not just applicable to me, it's applicable for all who have done as I am doing. Because he says, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous abandoned, deserted, forgotten, pushed away, become a misfit.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
You see, what we're having here is David saying, God is the one who's made him righteous. Because God is the one that put him in the right direction. And all who do as I am doing are going to have a righteous relationship with God. Because it's not about what I want. It's about what God has for me. Because what God has for
me
is for
me.
So, you know, where I thought I didn't fit, when I got to church, it made sense when I gave my life to Christ. Because where I thought I was the oddball, I'm now worshiping with a whole bunch of other folk who ain't fit in the world. But when we all come together in God's house, we are the pieces of the puzzle that come together, make this body of Christ to allow us to see, I now know where I am. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And there's still a whole lot of misfits still out there trying to fit in somewhere. But they're not fitting in anywhere. And that's why it's left up to us to go out there and reach them. Because we used to be a misfit. Somebody going to get that. And now that we go get them, we can let them know there's a place you're going to fit. But you won't know where you can fit until you come and give your life to Christ. Because once you give your life to Christ, you're going to see how you're going to fit in to the body of Christ. So let me read it again. I have been young and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. What David is seeing here in verse 25 is that I've seen all kinds of things going on. But the evidence that I see to be true is that those who truly put their trust in God, those who truly are the righteous, God has not abandoned, nor will he abandon, nor will he ever kick them to the curb. My brothers and my sisters, I don't care how many folk have kicked you to the curb. When you got Jesus, you are no longer kicked to the curb. The Lord has got you. He has not abandoned you. He won't turn his back on you. He is blessing you right now. Do I got anybody in God's house who knows that I'm now blessed? Do I got anybody in God's house who know I didn't fit nowhere, but I fit in God's house? Do I have anybody who realize I know where I am? I know where I belong. That's why I'm in church. That's why I praise his holy name. Because I finally found where I fit. You see, my brothers and sisters, when you understand where you fit and what you're doing, you come to realize something. When the road gets rough, even though I know where I fit, I'm going to hit some bumps along the way.
Yes.
It's going to get rough along the way.
Yes.
Even though my steps are firm.
Yes.
I might stumble, but the Lord won't let me go. Because I know the Lord will make a way for me. The Lord will see me through. He brought me this far. He going to take me all the way. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who understand how good our God is? Who understand if the Lord wasn't holding you, you might have lost your mind a long time ago. If the Lord wasn't holding you, there's no telling where you'd be right now. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? Who knows? I am where I am because the Lord won't let me
go.
You know what pushed us to church?
Thank you, Lord.
It's because we tried everything. And after trying all that, you know what happened? Nothing fit, Reverend Rose. Nothing made sense. Nothing worked. Nothing gave me peace. Nothing gave me lasting joy. Nothing made me feel good about myself.
Yeah.
Nothing made me excited. But when I came to Jesus, I realized the Lord has a plan for my life.
Yeah.
When I came to Jesus, and when I turned it all over to Him, He showed me the potential that exists inside of me. He showed me the plan He had for my life. And when that plan started coming into fruition, then I realized how good my God is. And whenever I come through the doors, I just got to bust through the doors and I got to praise His holy name because I finally found where I fit. Am I talking to anybody right now who understands that you fit? And that you're in the right place. If you know you're in the right place, go on and stand up and give three folk a high five and say, I know I'm in the right place because I fit in this place. Because I fit in this place. Because I fit in this place. I didn't fit anywhere else, but I fit in this place. You see, my brothers and my sisters, when you know how good our God is, I want you to know, and you know you fit in God's house. I don't care who gets agitated because you shout. I don't care who gets agitated because you get loud. You know, they just don't know your story. They just don't know how far you brought you. They don't know how you were turned around. They don't know how you got up out that sick bed. It's only because I know I found where I fit. And now that I found where I fit, I know the Lord won't let me. See, my brothers and sisters, it's because we were a misfit to the world, but we are fitting for God.